1 Chronicles chapter 19. David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. Well, it seems to me that after he's given the promises to him in 1 Chronicles 17, and he says, well, Yahweh, who am I? Who am I that you should show me this grace? He then gets his skates on and wants to run around showing as much grace to other people as he possibly can. And he does this, I think, at this point with Mephibosheth, as we saw earlier in chapter 17, and I think that he is doing the same here with Hanun, the son of Nahash of the children of Ammon. He's looking proactively to show grace to all and sundry, and he's very positive about this because he says, oh yeah, Hanun's father showed kindness to me. Well, wait a minute, Saul and David both had conflict with Ammon. So that is reading the past, reading history very positively, taking maybe one possible act of kindness and saying, oh, there you are, I'll focus on that rather than on all the negative that had gone on between Ammon and Israel. Well, this is what grace does to you. You are inspired by the very same promises that David had, in essence, the promises of being in God's kingdom and relationship with him. And we think, well, who am I? Who am I? And you then proactively go out to seek opportunities to show grace. There's a difference between being proactive in showing grace and simply, well, being kind or generous when, as it were, the collection bag comes around in front of you and just generally trying to be a fairly tolerant, easygoing fella. That's of course, good, but it's not quite the same as proactively thinking, well, who could I show kindness to? Like David says, using very similar language, who is there left of the house of Saul to whom I could show grace? He's proactive in it. It's like sitting down thinking, I wonder if we could open a soup kitchen. Oh, yeah, she's just lost her father. And yeah, she's got problems with her husband, who is drinking heavily. I bet she's got some financial problems raising those kids. I will just slip some banknotes to her in an envelope, or put it through her letterbox or whatever. That is proactively seeking out opportunities to show grace. And that, as I say, is somewhat different to simply trying to be a top bloke when the opportunity crosses your path. And in all this, David was motivated by his own receipt of grace. But, and this is a big but, I think David, like all of us, felt it difficult to keep on going in grace. Because, okay, he says, I will show grace to Hanun. And he just decides he's going to take the initiative, sends his messengers off there, and they get rudely rebuffed. And he gets mad about it. Now, a very similar incident happened when he was on the run from Saul. He sends messengers to Nabal, meaning well to him, and they also were rudely rebuffed. And he goes furious, and he's going to go and kill all of them. This man of grace, David, was going to go and kill Nabal, Abigail, and all his family. And it was only Abigail's grace and wisdom that saved him from doing that. Well, now the circumstances repeat. Again, his messengers are rebuffed, and there's no Abigail to restrain him. And he gets himself into an impossible fight, which he is only saved from, again, by God's grace. Seems to me that he failed to learn from his previous experience with Nabal and his being saved from a foolish path of action there. And he doesn't keep that grace going to the end. You see that circumstances repeat in our lives, the sending of messengers to Nabal and then being rebuffed. Now he sends messengers to Hanun and they're rebuffed. What's his response going to be? There's the divine hand in our lives that repeats circumstances to test us, to develop us. Even if we might pass, as it were, the first test, it's repeated. That's how education works, how teaching works. The exercise, in essence, is repeated. And if we fail the test, well, we have another chance to do it, as it were. And so this is how God works with us also. You can see the hallmarks here. Now, you then see this problem of keeping on in grace several times with David. You take when Shimei curses him and the sons of Zeruiah say, oh, let's go and cut his head off. And David says, oh, don't do that. God has told him to curse me. This is when he's fleeing from Absalom. And then, okay, he returns and is accepted again as king, and Shimei comes creeping up to him in a very creepy, crawly sort of way. And David says, oh, it's okay, scribbled, it's all forgiven. Don't worry about it, mate. You know, you're good. Then he comes to his deathbed and he says to Solomon, you know, Shimei, you know, you cussed me when I was running away from your brother Absalom. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Solomon, bring down his grey hairs with blood upon them to the grave. A pretty nasty thing to say, and of course Solomon does that. And all you can say is that David didn't keep that level of grace up to the end. And this is difficult, isn't it, to keep on and on showing grace. It is very difficult. I feel, putting the Psalms together and David's later words together, that sure, he got this after he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah, so he's very clear about it. But then I think he loses something as the time goes by. And I think this is why we regularly need to be reminded of our personal receipt of grace, of our personal forgiveness, of our personal experience of God saving me and giving things to me that were purely his grace. And you need to perceive that he's doing that in an ongoing sense, because this is the way to continue showing grace, because the life of continual outgiving of grace is very demanding, very sapping of spiritual and emotional energy. And you will only get that sort of topped up by your own personal conviction of your sin and his grace toward you. And conviction of sin is not popular on the agenda of secular man at all. And yet in the spiritual life, this serves an absolutely vital function.